Well, if you have your Bibles, you're going to want to pull them out. Father, I just thank you for the service today, and I thank you for everyone that's here in this room, Lord. Everyone that's online that listens to this message, Father. Father, I just ask that you would reveal through your word your plan for us, Lord, who we are and what your intentions are through us in the world. I just ask that you just glorify yourself in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Who was not here last Thursday? Okay, so I'm going to just recap just a minute for you guys. And if it doesn't make sense or if it's too much to just accept, I just ask you to watch the video. It'll be on Facebook, on High Point Church's website of last Thursday, okay? It'll help a lot. So, just to recap, how many of you all believe that Jesus died for your sins? Okay, so everybody that wasn't here believes that too. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you instead of running through all the verses. Is that all right? And then you can go back online and watch the whole thing if you really need to take notes and write down the verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, and I went on to explain that Jesus was on the cross, as we've read in Isaiah 52 and 53 and in other books of the Bible, where it really explains what he went through on the cross. His beard was plucked out. His crown of thorns crushed onto his head. He was whipped 39 times. He was pierced. He was nailed to a cross. He was humiliated and beaten. Then on that cross, the judgment of the entire world, the sins of the whole world, were placed on him. That means from the very first sin of Adam to the very last sin of whoever is going to commit that last sin. Don't let it be you, because you'll have a name in heaven. Don't do that. Let it be somebody else. Amen. So that very last sin and the very first sin and everything in between, every generation, every person, no exclusions, no exceptions. All of that sin was placed on Jesus. And it was so heavy and so much that it literally deformed his fleshly body to the point that you could not recognize he was a man. Okay, just the weight of the sin of the whole world. It says he carried it in his body on the cross. So is there any sin of any human being that will ever exist in history whose sins is not forgiven? Okay, so God took away the sin of the world, right or wrong? So then, is God dealing with you according to sin? No. But our conscience may not be renewed yet. We may still look at ourselves according to the flesh as falling short and being sinful. Yes or no? And in that, we can get beat up, right? The devil could really do a job on our minds and disqualify us from walking in the real boldness of God. So let's think for a minute. Since the whole world's sin is removed, it's completely done. Remember those little toys when we were kids, all of us old people, that it would be this little black tar thing with a plastic film over it. And you had this little plastic pencil, and you'd write things on it. And then you'd lift that little plastic piece of paper up, and it would erase everything off. You guys know what I'm talking about? They even went and put those in Cracker Jacks at one point, you know? I forgot what they're called, but it was just, it's an interesting thing. Those of you that are born before the 90s, you might know what that is. Okay, so it's like that. The world was full of sin in everybody, and Jesus lifted it up and took away the sin of the world, right? So there's nothing there. Is there or not? But our physical bodies still do things that are sinful, yes or no? So how could God reconcile that? If he took away the sin of the world, but we're still doing things that are considered sinful, how is God reconciling that? He moved you and I from the flesh into the spirit. He relocated us. Now, the Bible says in Colossians and in Philippians that he has moved us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, or from earthly into the heavenly places. Okay, it says it differently in each one. But he literally removed us. The word's conveyed. And any of you that have ever bought a house, when they moved the title from the other person's name into your name, they conveyed the title. They moved it from one ownership to another ownership. Are you with me? But the house never moved, did it? The house stayed where it was, but the ownership changed. Are you with me? So I'll give you another simple one. If I had a car and you didn't, and I let you drive my car, okay? And you drove it and drove it and drove it, and when people see you in the car, what do they say? They say, oh, he or she's in their car. I see so-and-so because they see the car. To them, it doesn't matter who holds the title. It matters who they see and relate in the car, yes or no? And then if I give you the car, I've just moved the title into your name. Now, you're still driving the car, but now you own the car, instead of me owning the car or the bank owning the car. Do you understand that? So the title, the ownership of you was moved from the hands of the devil to the hands of God, from the hands of the spirit of this world to the spirit of life. Are you with me still? But your physical body is where?
Here.
And where is your consciousness? Is it here in your physical body or is it in heaven? No, it's in your physical body, or you can't hear me right now. You're awake here. Now, I want to tell you that I have had the blessing of being taken to heaven, and my physical body, whether I was in my body or out of the body, I really, truly don't know. But I was fully there. The I that I call me was fully there. It wasn't here anymore. That means my consciousness went. Are you with me? When that subsided, I was back in my body here. My consciousness was put back here. So your consciousness is still on the earth. But legally, you're there. So how can God deal with us as sinless beings? How's that possible since our consciousness is here, our body is here, and we still do sinful actions? Yet the title's been cleaned and moved to heaven. So let me explain something. Your sin was put in Jesus. He died your death. So God saw you die already. You paid for your sin in Christ. Are you with me? The sin that's held against you was put on Jesus. So your debt was paid with God. Did you have a debt? Oh, yes. From the day you're born until the day that you transition, whatever you accumulated during that time in a sinful way has already been paid for. Okay? So even if you go out of here and start sinning the worst, it's already been paid. Are you with me? So therefore, the compassion should rise up inside of us of what Jesus has done for us, because we still deserve to die. And we're reminded of it daily in the flesh. So now, let me give you another example. Do you remember in the Old Testament when they used to bring sheep and lambs and goats to be sacrificed to the priests for sin, which would clear it for a year. Do you remember that? Okay, so if I'm the most disgusting person in the tribe of Judah, no, Jesus came from Judah, Manasseh. Nobody famous came from there that I'm aware of. If he did, put it in the comments below. So, and I'm the worst one there is, and I go get a very nice lamb. What kind of a lamb do I need? Spotless. So I need a lamb that's not deformed, it's not blind, it's got all of its teeth, no spots in its skin, no freckles, nothing. I want to get a perfect blemish-free lamb. That is representative of Jesus, the Lamb of God, yes or no? So when I take this spotless, beautiful, clean lamb to the priest, he inspects the lamb, right? Does he inspect me? He doesn't check me out at all. But what the devil will do is George will be behind me with his lamb and or his little pigeon, because he did some silly little thing. So he's got a little pigeon. He'll see me in line with a big old fat lamb ready to go. He'll go, oh, I saw Robert in line with that lamb. Oh, you wouldn't believe what he's been doing. That's what the devil will do. Okay? It's like, weren't you in line last week? Why are you back here again, dude? What's going on? The priest looks at the lamb, this beautiful, gorgeous lamb who died in my place. So as far as the priest is concerned, I'm clean, right or wrong. My sacrifice is what makes me clean, not the life I live in the flesh. Okay? So when Jesus was on the cross, God looked at Jesus. He doesn't look at you. He doesn't. You're freed from sin. So it's been erased. There's no sin issue in heaven when God deals with you and me. It's done. Are you with me? So we're going to move on from that point, because he made us his righteousness. Yes or no? That means however Jesus was, which is spotless, blameless, above reproach, perfect in the sight of God, holy, that's how I am now. And some of us are going, oh, well, I've spent some time with you, Robert. I don't think that's really true. In the flesh, it might not be. But legally, it's absolutely true in the mind of God. But you and I have a very difficult time rationalizing that, don't we? And thereby, condemnation starts working on us because we see each other according to the flesh. Now in 21, if you go back up to 16 and 17, we're just going to talk. It says that we once knew Jesus according to the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. We look at him differently now because he wasn't just a flesh and blood man. He died and he rose again. So there's something different about Jesus. We once looked at him that way, these guys that were there with him, but now they see him in a different way. You and I, when we believe, it says that old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. We are new creations. New creatures, a new kind of a person. This is the kind of a person you are. You are a person who still walks on the earth, but your origin now is in heaven. Your title deed is in heaven. You're a heavenly being. And because of that, the Spirit of God now operates in you. Jesus was what? A life-giving spirit. Adam was a living soul. So you went from being a living soul to a life-giving spirit, a new kind of person. Therefore, he paid the price for your sins. He gave you his righteousness. So now you're this really outstanding, super cool kind of person that walks on the earth, different than other kind of people that don't know that. Are you with me? Are their sins forgiven? Yes, but they don't know it. They're still living according to the flesh. They don't know anything different. So how is it if we are seated in heavenly places and we're in Christ Jesus, and it says, as he is, so are we in this world, in 1 John 4:17. So then how do we recognize or reconcile this in our minds when our behavior and our attitude and things are less than perfection and godliness? What do we do? That's the conundrum a lot of people are in. Okay? So God knew that this was going to be the case. And so he put safety guards in place to help each and every one of us. So he moved you from the flesh into the spirit. It says in Galatians chapter 5 that since we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit, right? So we live in the spirit. Our identity's in the spirit. We're citizens of heaven. We're seated in Christ in heavenly places. God forgave the sins of the world in Jesus Christ. Yes? So, when God is looking at you and me, he's looking at what? Jesus. When he says in him, all the phrases that say in Christ or in him, we're talking about a resurrected Jesus in heaven with God. That God sees you and me in Christ. We're included with Christ. So whenever there's a phrase that says in him, that means we're looking at the resurrected sacrifice. Okay? Not you on the earth. Now the resurrected sacrifice is for you on the earth. So when you say I'm hid in Christ, that's the truth. God doesn't look at you exclusively away from Christ. He includes you in Christ. So God looks at you as he looks at Christ. So whatever benefits, whatever blessings, whatever anointings, whatever belongs to Jesus, God ascribes to you because you're in Christ. So whatever he's saying and doing and being for Jesus, he's doing and saying and being for you and I. We're included. Are you with me? Still, we're walking on the earth. Still, we've got our consciousness here. Still, we're falling short in areas. But God's not holding it against us because he's looking at us in Christ. The Bible says in Colossians that you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, Colossians 3. So now we got this deal. You and I are still on the earth. Our consciousness is on the earth and we're still falling short. I'm going to probably say that 12 more times, okay? But yet God deals with us according to Jesus, right? So now we're trying to walk on the earth as Jesus walked on the earth. We're trying to relate to ourselves as Jesus related to us on the earth, and we're having difficulty. And like I said, God has safeties in place. So he made a provision for us before this whole deal started. And here's what he did. When Jesus ascended on high and sat down, he gave us his Holy Spirit. And so now what he did was, instead of leaving us orphans alone on the earth, he gave us his Spirit, came to the earth, and now has been given to the whole world if you believe and accept it and you're baptized. When you receive that Spirit of God, then he enters us and transforms us. So here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is the one teaching us who we really are. Because on the earth, our consciousness is still here. Our body's still here. The pull of the world is still here. We're clean as far as God's concerned. He deals with us according to sons. So we're there. He's holding nothing against us. So we can have this real love relationship with Jesus and with the Father. But it's through the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So let's look at some of these scriptures that'll help us when we're walking on the earth. Yes, sister.
Can you relate repentance
Okay, relating repentance to what I just said. She said, can I relate repentance to what I just said? So, we before Christ are ignorant of the things of God. We don't know them. This world can never teach us how to have a relationship with God. It's not in it. Now, you can look at the stars, you can look at the trees, you can look under a microscope and see, okay, there must be a God because all of this declares his glory. Someone had to make this. It's too well. The planets don't crash into each other. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. We can chronologize it. We can guarantee where it's going to be in the future because there's a pattern to the whole thing and a rhythm to the whole thing. This is not random, okay? God exists. So we can do that part. But then we have to decide that we want to know who God is. And it says that the Father draws us to him. So you and I, as Christians walking in the world, we witness to other people our lives. In other words, they see your life and they hear your words to find out about God and how to have a relationship with him. The Bible says that we turn from dead works to Christ. When we turn towards Christ, the veil's removed, 2 Corinthians 3. Okay, verses probably around 12 to 18. So when we turn to Christ, the veil's removed. Even today, if someone's just reading the Old Testament, they can't see nothing. They're blind. It's just a book, just a great history book, a story book. But when we do repent, that means to turn, make a decision to be different. Not a feeling, a decision to be different. If God's real, I made a decision. I said, God, if you're real, I want to meet you face to face. No games, none of this by faith stuff because I didn't understand real faith. And I said, I will do whatever this Bible says, but you reveal yourself to me in the next 3 days. If you're real, I need to know. And he did. So when he revealed himself to me, there's no question. He's God and I'm created. He exists. I'm manufactured. He wins. I do what he says. There's zero doubt that that's true. So then you turn from the world, from your sinful ways, and start following after Christ, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what he's going to do is start teaching us. Does that answer your question enough? You have to confess with your mouth, understand with your mind that Jesus was you and me, and he raised from the dead. And if he raised from the dead, that means all of us raised from the dead. One man's sacrifice for all men everywhere. One offering for all time. He never needs to make an offering. Once for all, it's dealt with. Okay? Yet we still got this carnal nature dealing with us on the earth, and we've got a spiritual man on the inside of us, and we're wrestling with that. So is there a time when that stops? I'll give you a clue. It's a two-letter word, and it starts with an N, and it ends in an O. You fill in the gap. Okay? No. Never. So, we've got to put down the flesh. The Bible says that we need to die to the flesh. Die to the deeds of the flesh. In fact, go with me real quick. This is not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to look on your Bibles. And it's going to be Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans 6, 13. I'm going to be reading in the New King James. For those of you that are visitors, it should be on the screen in a moment. And if not, there's Bibles in front of you. So it says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So what he's saying here, we're jumping right into the middle of it, that our sinful man's been done away with. He's been killed off, as it starts in chapter 6 and says that. So what he's saying here is this, is since You woke up in the spirit and got born again. You belong to God, and you're supposed to live as if you've already been resurrected. Okay? You live as though you've already been resurrected, and no longer give yourself to the world and as an instrument of sin. You don't follow your lusts, your earthly desires, and your earthly passions anymore. You rule over them. You deny them the right to have a way. You take authority over it, and you live a resurrected life. Okay? That's what we set our mind to. We make a decision. That's what we're going to do, because our feelings will sweep us away. The very fact that it's called emotions means that it moves. It flows like water. Okay? It means it's moving. It's not solid. It's not trustworthy. It's fluid. Emotions are fluid, and they're based off of decisions. That's what emotions are based off, what your decisions are. Okay? How you decide about anything. You come into a circumstance, and all of a sudden, people say, you just won the lottery. You're a millionaire. You get all excited. If you bought a ticket, you get all excited inside, right? That may be a lie. You may not have won, but you feel the feelings because you believed the information was true. Or it might be that somebody says, the flu is going around right in your face. And next thing you know, you're going, oh, don't breathe on me. I'll catch that flu. And guess what you do? Okay? So it's whatever comes out of your heart that's your true belief system, what you've truly decided is true, is what directs your life. So we never walk according to our emotions. We enjoy them, but they don't lead. They don't tell us the truth. They tell us how we feel right now. Okay? So a decision. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm not going to let my body do what it wants to do. I'm in charge. Live unto the Lord as if we were resurrected. Okay? Turn the page. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So as he gave us the Spirit, I kind of left off on verse 11 of Romans 8 last week. And I'm going to just jump right into Romans 8, verse 12, and let's look at a couple of things. What we're talking about today is that now we have, since our consciousness and our flesh is still on the earth, but our identity is in Christ, who's seated in heavenly places, and God sees us as him, so we see ourselves as him, but now we need to work on the transformation from living one way to another way. The reality in God's mind's been set. Now we have to walk it out. So we no longer have to fear death or being judged by God. So now we're kind of like got this breath of fresh air moment of 60, 70, 80 years where God's not going to judge us. God does not put sin on us. He doesn't make bad things happen. He's not angry with us. He loves us. He wants us. He says good things about us. He has a great future planned for us. He's only good. And so we have this dispensation of no judgment now, because sin's been paid for, to now start walking it out and make the transformation from darkness to light. So now is where we start training our soul and our body. So now what we're going to do is walk according to the Spirit. Are you with me? We can model ourselves after the Holy Spirit now. This is how we start being transformed by the Spirit of God. And I think I read to you 2 Corinthians 3:18 last time, that it says once you've turned to Christ, these blinders are removed off of your face. So now, when you look into the mirror, you see yourself with the same glory that Jesus has. And this comes by the Spirit of God. Okay? Let's read it one time, just so I don't slaughter it for you. 2 Corinthians 3. I didn't give her these verses, so you just got to bear with me. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. says, but we all with unveiled face, that's because we turned to Christ and the veil was removed, beholding as in a mirror, what do we see when we look in this mirror since our blinders are taken off? The glory of the Lord, and are being transformed. That means we are currently going under a renovation. We are being changed now. And this is how we are going to be changed. We are being transformed into the same image that we see in the mirror, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit, by spending time with the Holy Spirit and seeing ourselves seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, renewing our minds to that's who we are, making a decision that I live as if I've already been resurrected from the dead, as if I already walk around in heaven, I've decided that's the way I'm going to live. So now the teacher, the comforter, the Holy Spirit is teaching me how to do that. Are you with me? That's why our relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important. 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse says, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God shows us love, Jesus gave us grace, and we have the communion or the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's the one we're joined to right now. He's the one leading us into all godliness. Are you with me? So while we're being trained by the Holy Spirit, like I said before, judgment's been suspended or lifted off of us. So we have the freedom to make mistakes while we learn. Are you with me? That's not sin. Okay? That's learning. And even if you do sin, remember, Jesus paid it all. So we have an advocate with the Father who is Christ Jesus, saying, Lord, Lord, Father, I know, I see it too, but I paid that. I paid that. He says, that's right, you did. That's right, you did. I'll withhold my wrath. I won't be angry with them. They're learning. They don't get it yet. Their mind still hasn't been renewed yet. They're still getting it, okay? And so what we do is we continually fellowship with the Holy Spirit as he's revealing who we really are, these eternal heavenly creatures. Sorry, we're not going to hit any of those scriptures. So just to let you know, so how is it that this transformation is actually going to take place? So it says that, okay, I'll do a couple. Here we go. So it says that, where did I say to go before? Romans? Let's do that. Let's do a couple of those. Instead, why don't you do with me, go to 2 Corinthians 1:22. And that'll help me explain something to you here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. No, that's not it. 2 Corinthians 1:22. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why I didn't look right. God's still working on me. Isn't it? He's not finished with me. That's the truth. 1:22. It says, I'm going to read 21 too. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has, past tense, anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or as a down payment. So we're going to actually walk in the fullness of the glory of God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And we will be one day walking in the full deal. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read 16 and 17. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. We're jumping right in the middle of it. That he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through how? His spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So this spirit that he gave to us is the one that empowers us on the inside, or another word, it's the Greek word energia, which means to energize us. So the life that we now live is coming by the Spirit of God in us. Now, food and water is going to feed your body, and the life of the flesh is in the blood, but your life now is in the Spirit. So it's the Spirit of God that gives you life, because when the body sheds, you will still be alive, right? And you'll get a new body. So it's the spirit that gives the real you life. You're going to live forever. And it's the spirit that gives you that life, that everlasting or eternal life. So we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what will come, right? So as we're walking through the earth, we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher, as our comforter, to show us and lead us into godliness so that we can renew our minds according to the Word of God and according to the Spirit. Ephesians says that we pray in the Spirit, being built up in the Spirit, and Colossians says it's by the Word of God, okay? Two kind of sister books that say the same story about being filled up, but one focuses on the Spirit, the other one focuses on the Word. The Word and the Spirit have to agree. They're one, right? This is the written Word that is the life of the Spirit. So whatever the Spirit is, it's written in here. It's really simple. It's life. It's truth. It's life and truth. Boom. That's what God is. He exists. We're created. So this Holy Spirit is our teacher. But what God's going to do is, by the Holy Spirit, he raised Jesus from the dead. Yes? And that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, what did it do? It whoosh, brought life back to that flesh again. And that's when Jesus arose out of the tomb. The flesh was re-energized by the Spirit. Yes? So here's you and I. We have this expectation of what's going to come. And that is that same thing that happened to Jesus could happen to you and I. Should we not shed our flesh when he returns, it'll happen to you. If you shed your flesh before that, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Be absent from your physical body, you'll be present with the Lord, which is good. But those of us that are on the earth and remain, when that happens, this is what happens, is the life of that Spirit that's in you, the down payment that you've been given, that can walk in power, authority, miracles, prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, tongues and interpretation of tongues, administrations, miracles, all of that is in you, in the Spirit. Yes? And so as you walk on the earth, that deposit that you've got that says, here's my down payment, I'm going to redeem the entire thing, but for now, here's my down payment. So it's yours. Start living as if it's yours. I've paid for it. I've given it to you. Now start living as if you're already resurrected. You're already with me in heaven. You're already walking in your citizenship. Now walk it out now, before the full deal happens. This gives you the opportunity to renew your mind to who you really are. No consequence for sin right now as far as God holding it against you. But we got the devil. We got the spirit of this world. He will condemn you. He will put sickness on you. He will cause you to have a bad day. He'll turn people against you. He'll put pressure on your brain so that you have all kinds of issues. He will do those things to you because he can't stand that you get the glory that he believes is rightfully his. He hates it. That God's affection is on you above him when he was first. He hates it. And he wants to destroy you. He wants as few possible inhabitants in heaven as possible. He wants to destroy lives. And he will do it whether you think he's doing it or not. So we have to be vigilant and stand against that. So we not only put down the deeds of our flesh, we have to be aware that there is one who is very strategic wanting to take us out. Thank God for the Spirit of God, who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. He is always with me, a paraclete, right beside me all the time. Okay? So as he's here with me always, what I have to do is actually give him my attention. That's what you have to do, is actually give him your attention so that he can teach you, so that he can quicken you, so that he can lead you. And then when you do things go off track, when you go out of the bounds, you should have a godly sorrow inside of you that you're transgressing the Holy Spirit, and then get back on track again. Are you with me? There is a verse in the Bible that says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And it's in Ephesians 4:30, and it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That means he put his signet on you, his stamp on you, his godly approval, your mark, your God's property. And not only that, you're sealed like in a preserve or a Ziploc bag that the devil can't touch your spirit. It's perfectly clean, just like God. Okay? Sin has been condemned in the flesh, Jesus said in Romans chapter 8. So as long as the flesh is going to be physically die one day, and there goes the sin. That's why, but you're going to continue on, right? Yes? So that's why we renew our mind, so that that sin identity doesn't follow us. Are you with me? It's not who you are. It's just truly not who you are. So that's the battle. That's the renewing of our minds that's going to be taking place as we fellowship with the Spirit of God and read our Bibles and believe what it says. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness of the truth. He'll teach us all things. If it's biblical and it's of God, he'll you. If it's not, he'll no, don't go down that road. No, don't do that. No, don't. No. Stop. Something inside of you will let you know as you stay attentive to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So, we have been redeemed. We've been made clean. We've been seated in heavenly places. We've been reconveyed. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's our place. No one can ever take that from you. Your behavior can't do it. It was an agreement between God and Jesus. The Lamb passed the inspection. The Lamb paid, not you. It's a free gift. We just have to accept that it's true. And in doing so, the love of God constrains us from doing evil things. And we start living according to the Spirit of life. And in that, the compassion of God, Ephesians 3, the love of God that we would be able to comprehend with every saint, the depths and the width and the height of the love of God, so that the fullness of God can fill us. Because God is what? Love. God is love. So by the degree that you love others, you manifest God in the earth. And by that compassion, you'll heal people. So, let's talk about that for just a second. You do not have the power to heal anyone in your earthly conscience fleshly bodies. You don't. I'm sorry. You don't. Just like God looked at the sacrifice of Jesus and included you, Jesus did it. You didn't. Right? Jesus bore it. You didn't. Jesus paid it. You didn't. He bought you with his blood. He bought me with his blood. We're his possession. He took captivity captive, Ephesians says. Right? We were the prisoners of the devil, and he made us his property. Right? So how do people get healed then when we pray for them? By the Spirit of God that dwells in us. God's still doing the work. So when you go to pray for somebody and the devil goes, oh, but I know your thoughts. I know what you did yesterday. I know what you really think. I know that you're afraid. Oh, I know. You're disqualified. I know. And he tries to do whatever he can to what? Get you to look at yourself. But you don't qualify as the healer. But the Spirit of God does. He's in you. He's God in the world. He's God in you. Does he qualify to heal people? So his Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. He's the one teaching me who I am. He's the one empowering me to walk in the power of God. He's the one equipping me to do that stuff. Yes or no? So, when I walk up on the scene to lay hands on you, guess what? You can get healed. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. And the Spirit that's in me can heal you. But you know what the cool thing is? The Spirit in you can heal you. If you're born again, yes, that's the truth. Because the flesh does not go into heaven. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not. But you can. You can. So if you didn't fix it, you don't have the power to break it. Listen, so does the Bible say, to him who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, him who believes, the Holy Spirit will occasionally be God through him. Is that what it says? It doesn't, does it? So when you're baptized and when you're filled with the Spirit, does he come on you and then leave and go somewhere else? No, he doesn't. So does he sometimes take a break and go to heaven and visit with the Father and the Son? He's on the earth, always on the earth, and he'll stay on the earth until the one who is holding it in place is removed, and then the Holy Spirit will go too. So who is it holding it in place? You and me. You and I are going to determine how long it takes. Is Jesus coming back for a so-so bride? Really? What kind of bride is Jesus coming back for? One worthy of him. No spot, no blemishes, right? So, does that mean she's never sinned in her physical body before? No. That means she knows who she is. When you know who you are, you will walk in that glory. And God will withhold nothing from you. But if you don't know who you are, you won't tap into it. You won't do it. It's not that he withholds it. You just won't do it. Yeah, I thought I'd get that reaction. So, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. That's why we rejoice always before the Lord. because all of a sudden it seems like, oh man, I got all this stuff to carry. What do I got? What were those verses Pastor Robert was saying, and where was that at again? And what about this? Does it make sense? But if I don't do that, is that going to work still? And it gets to be crazy. So here's the simple part of it. God loves us. Rejoice in the presence of God. You are already complete in Him. You're already complete. You already have the fullness of God in you. It's already a done deal. So love people. Enjoy your life. Enjoy people. Pray for one another. Speak well of one another. Lay hands on one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up to who we really are, so that the fog leaves, so the cloud leaves, and so the idea of reality of who I really am in Christ gets so settled down inside of me that I don't forget, that the devil can't sweep me away, that when something happens to me, a pain comes in my body, I says, no, in the name of Jesus, that is not for me. I do not receive it. Christ took stripes for that. No. Or when something bad starts happening, I don't go, oh my gosh, what have I done wrong? Where am I falling short? Why is all this bad stuff happening? What did I do? No. Devil, get out of my way. Stop that. Right? I start getting a little bit fumbly sometimes and blah, 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 blah. You know what I do? I stop right there and I start praising God. And I start raising my hands and I start giving glory to God and break out of that stupor. Break out of it, right? We need to go ahead and have a garment of praise on us that stops that spirit of heaviness that gets on us. We got to wake ourselves up and shake ourselves off. And we need to say who we are and declare who we are in the Spirit, that I am anointed. I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God's favor is upon me. I am a son of God. And I will walk in the fullness of His glory day by day. More of Him is being revealed in me. Day by day, more light is shining from me. Day by day, my physical body is lining up with my eternal glory. Day by day, I'm getting richer and richer in the Spirit. Day by day, the demonic forces are learning who my name is and who I am in the Spirit. Day by day, this world is seeing more and more of the kingdom of God coming out by me. Day by day, it's getting greater and greater and greater. Is there anything my Father will withhold from me? No, there is not. And the more I stir myself up, the more I declare that that is true, the more I can confirm it in the Word, the more that glory starts filling me, and the more I start experiencing the reality of heaven while I'm on this body, on the earth, and where I go, I bring a buzz with me. And pretty soon when I walk into a room, day by day, when I walk into that room, more of God's glory is right there, as a matter of fact, ready, present to heal. With me? Yes. And that's what we do. Clap, give a praise to the Lord. Yes. Day by day, day by day, day by day. Because I'll tell you what, you got your body working against us. You got gravity working against us. You got the spirit of this world working against you. You got all the angst and anxieties from your childhood. Some of you are still carrying that stuff. And you haven't said, no, that's in the flesh. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm an entirely different kind of a being. I'm the kind of a being that lives in the Spirit, and I just happen to walk around in a body. I need the body to be on the earth, but I'm a citizen of heaven. My Father, oh, He's God. Oh, by the way, if you've seen me, you've seen Him, because I kind of do what He does. He's the one teaching me and training me. He's my God. He's my teacher. He's my comforter. He's the one that leads me day by day. And the sons of God are those who are being led by the Spirit of God. And the devil has no right to disqualify you, to condemn you, or to lay stuff on you. But you must energize your mind to who you really are. You must get in the Word so you got an unshakable foundation. You must speak in your heavenly language, and if you don't have that, speak in English, glorifying God and proclaiming who the truth is. Prophesy. I mean stand up and speak into the atmosphere exactly how it's going to rearrange itself because you are realizing that you're truly a son of God. And as you truly start waking yourself up that who I really am, the Spirit of God's really with me, I don't have to beg my Father for anything. Not anything. In fact, I will realize that whatever thing I pray, whatever thing I ask, the answers to my prayers in Him are yes and amen. Absolutely, that if I know that He hears me because I live according to His commandments, I know His will. His will is that I love you all. That's His will, and I love Him and I love you. That's His will. And when I know His will, that I'm to love you guys, I know He's going to give me whatever I ask for because I'm walking in love, right or wrong. Amen. And therefore, when I really know that my Father's for me, that He's with me, and that He wants to produce Himself in me and show it to you, then I know that when I walk and I see someone that's sick or infirmed, I know that's not the way my Father likes it. That's not the way He lives and keeps His house. I will evict whoever is manifesting themselves in this body that is not according to the freedom of Christ. And I'll stand against that demonic force that is infiltrating this person in front of me. I don't condemn that person. Their sins are forgiven along with mine. I speak life over them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I set them free so that they can recognize who they are and what gift God has given them so they can walk in the manifestation of the healing of the truth. That's who we are. That's not even a maybe, sorta. It's break off the hypnotism. Break off the thinking about yesterdays, the worryings about tomorrows, and be in the moment, in the glory, in the spirit, and manifest life wherever you go. But I tell you what, it's not a second guess kind of thing. God, you're going to back me up? It's not like that. Go for it. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will manifest, but you pull out all the stops, all the resistance, all the second guessing. Leave it alone and be the light. And when you be the light, you'll shine. Are you with me? Let's give God the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's who we are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody in this room. As you guys are thinking about people, as you're hearing me pray right now, I want you to see the Spirit of God moving through you for that person. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You've sent your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're with us, teaching us, leading us, showing God mighty through us. That as we think of people in our lives that don't know this, Lord, that we would be able to share it, Lord, with them so that they may come into the light. Or if they are, Father, already Christians, already have made a decision to repent from the things of this world and to follow after the things of God, but their mind has been blocked by bad teaching, Lord, blocked by an identity that has no power. Father, I ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, break that free. Break up that hard ground, that hard heart, and set it free. Let the waters of God rise up inside of them to make that hard rock mud so that it's soft like clay and pliable, Lord, that they can have a heart of flesh, that their minds can be open to who you are so that all of the, well, I don't know if God will do that, are removed, Lord. And we can walk in your power and your glory. Lord, glorify yourself through your church. Glorify yourself through us. Glorify yourself that, Father, that as you turn up the light inside of us, we will shine more. But, Father, let us, with the earnest guarantee of your Holy Spirit, what's already been given to us. Let us walk in the fullness of what's been provided up to this point. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. God is good, huh?
Yeah.
I just want to let you know, you guys are anointed. You guys are set free. You guys, you are everything you ever wanted to be in Christ. And if you want to be more, it's yes, be more. But I'll tell you, go in boldness and power. Put the devil in his place. I'm not saying go toe-to-toe and go look for enemies to take out. I'm saying the ones that stand in front of you, they got to go. Amen? You got the power. You got the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.